This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Foster, he is out there in Amsterdam. We're so grateful as professor at Vrije Universiteit out there sitting in the dark still. Shame he's in Europe. Morning, Prof. How's it going?
Yeah, it's still dark here, Brad. Hey, nee, man. Die plek is nie Afrika nie, jong. Dit is verskrikkelijk.
Cold and dark.
But cold and dark.
We're grateful.
Cold and dark.
Can you help us out there with what Gerard was saying? We were talking about the pool of Bethesda out of John 5 and then the pool of Siloam. What is the difference there?
Brad?
Yeah?
I'm actually not 100% sure. I'd have to go and have a little look to see what the difference is.
Okay, we'll go check it out.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out, and if we remember, we can come back to it next week.
Okay, that's a good idea. So we're staying in the book of John. We're talking here about John chapter 5 and the pool of Bethesda. Let's go to, and I love this. I just want to tell the listeners, I'm reading through the whole Bible from start to finish, and I've been doing it for a while. I struggled a little bit through the prophets, but I'm really enjoying the Gospels. I'm in the book of John, and just been reading about the Samaritan woman at the well. And yesterday I was just busy reading the latter part where so many people came to hear and to meet Jesus and so many people's lives were changed. And then it wasn't 5 minutes I get a message from Prof saying, let's talk about the Samaritan woman at the well. I thought, well, this is lovely.
Wow.
Of all the places I could have been in the Bible, it was exactly the same place that Prof Dion Foster wants to chat about this morning. And I love the story. There's so much to it. So many layers and interesting cultural, spiritual, political things that just pour out of this one simple story.
Brad, absolutely. And maybe that's confirmation from the Spirit that this is what we're meant to be talking about. So let's quickly set the scene. So Jesus and his disciples are on a journey. And, you know, the ways in which the ancient Near East was set up, not just geographically, but certainly religiously and culturally, was the Jews and Samaritans would not mix with another. So Jews were, you know, generally the Hebrew people around Jerusalem. The Samaritans tended to be persons who, after the time of exile, had intermarried and taken on sometimes, you know, some, you know, strange beliefs for Jews, certainly from some of the cultures and ethnicities and communities that were part of the exile. And so Jews and Samaritans often clashed around issues of purity, of religious law. And so even if the Jews were to be going, you know, to a certain place and they had to cross a Samaritan territory, they would travel around it, you know, a little bit like if we know that if we're driving somewhere and, you know, there's an area that we've been told, you know, this particular area is not so safe. We tend to want to drive around it, even if our GPS says, you know, straightest ways through. Jesus, however, makes this different decision. He goes into the Samaritan city. And, you know, so we can already see what Jesus is doing is he's questioning these kind of historically set, culturally determined boundaries. He's troubling those, as we would say in the academic world. He's you know, he's saying, look, you know, where do these things come from and why can't I go here? And he enters into the Samaritan city and sends his disciples off to go and get some food and goes to a well. And it's, you know, it's the middle of the day, it's hot. And here he meets the Samaritan woman. So I'm sure many of us know the story. It would have been very uncommon for a person to be drawing water in the middle of the day for various reasons. Number one, normally people needed water in their homes to start the day, so they needed it for washing and for cleaning and, you know, for cooking, etc. So people would have collected water earlier in the day already. Secondly, it's just a matter of comfort. You know, when you're carrying heavy stone water, jars of water, you want to do it in the coolest part of the day, not the hottest part of the day. So here Jesus encounters this woman at the well, and she must be there because she doesn't want to be there when all the other women are there. And of course, very quickly, Jesus encounters her. He treats her with a measure of respect and dignity, not as someone who's an unclean Samaritan woman, but just as a person that he would encounter. And he says to a woman, "I'm thirsty. Could you please give me something to drink?" Now, that would have been unheard of for a Jewish man, particularly a Jewish rabbi, a teacher, to ask a Samaritan woman to give him something to drink. And then in that process, she already is sort of taken off guard. You know, she suddenly feels, in a sense, seen, recognized. And Jesus asks her one or two questions, and she can see this person is not like all the other Hebrew men that I've encountered, who would slander me, who would prejudge me. And she opens up to him, you know, tells him a bit of her life story. And of course, Jesus knows it all. And without judgment, he sort of opens up even more. And she's so astounded by this. Then, of course, you know, Jesus asks her, you know, if you're really wanting something to quench your thirst, then just come to the well. I can give you the water of life, something that will deal with all of these issues. And in that moment, she recognizes the Christ, and she goes back to her village. And just think about the amazing thing that happens, Brad, you know, from going to the well in the middle of the day to avoid everybody, she now goes knocking on doors, you know, saying, come to the well, you know, there's someone special there, someone who saw me, who heard me, who knew everything about my life, who told me the most remarkable things, and he can do the same for you. And we read, of course, as you say, towards the end of John chapter 4, around about verse 26, that many people in that village came to faith through her witness, through her testimony. Now, what strikes me about that, Brad, is that, you know, here is a woman, if she hadn't encountered Jesus, she might have lived her life for the rest of her life on the margins, you know, on the outside of society, trying to avoid people, living with that measure of social shame. But what Jesus does in recognizing her, in her humanity, is he restores her dignity. And not only that, he gives her a purpose, an incredible purpose, which makes even those who have judged her, who have slandered her, find life, come to faith. So this struck me a little bit, you know, two things that struck me about this. The first one was, I wonder if my life is set up in such a way that I enter into the spaces that Jesus creates for me. You know, Jesus is constantly holding space for us. He's constantly creating these openings, and he does it in these unexpected ways and unexpected places, at a well in Samaria in the middle of the day. And sometimes he does it by asking us to do a little bit of work, something that we wouldn't expect to do. I'm thirsty. Would you give me something to drink? So that's the first thing. And maybe one of our listeners is out there today saying, I can't understand why I'm going through this. I can't understand why the Lord is not taking me out of this work situation, or not giving me that particular thing that I really long for, that change. And maybe Jesus is holding some space there to do something for you to be seen by him, and for you to do something with others. But the second thing that struck me, Brad, is I wonder how frequently in the boldness of Jesus, having been seen by Jesus, having been told, and I want you to hear this today, Brad, listeners, Dion, I also want you to hear it. You are the center of God's heart. There is no one who is more loved than you. It doesn't matter what anyone says or does. You are the love of Christ. Yeah. And having been seen in that way, what does that release me to do? What does that give me the courage to do, which perhaps society has told me you can't do because you're too short, you're too tall, you're too old, you're too young, you're too male, you're too female. You know, what boundaries does that allow me to cross so that God's miracles can take place? So, Brad, I think what I'm wanting to say to myself and to all of us today is let's not get stuck in convention. Let's not get trapped in culture. Let's rattle those things a little bit, because Jesus the King is inviting us to life.
Yeah, that's so nice. In the program just before my early start this morning, Eddie and his wife were talking about us being the apple of his eye. And I'm just thinking of that based on what you've just said. It made me think we need to change, I think, when it comes to understanding how God sees us and what that actually means. So the way we think, our faith, our emotions, we somehow need to realign that to come into the alignment of how God really sees us, and the fact that he really loves us and that he's creating space for us Because sometimes I think we just don't want to believe it. I don't know. We're too busy. We think God's not interested. It's this idea that somebody would look at us and have nothing but love in his heart for us. I mean, that's mind-boggling. I can't even get my head around that, Dion. But then to let my faith be shaped around that truth and not be shaped by my circumstances or my insecurities.
Yeah, Brad, absolutely. And I think you're absolutely spot on there. You know, that's our personal task is to lean into that, to live into that. But just imagine if you and I and others are feeling that way, that means most other people are feeling the same as well. And that's what makes the Samaritan woman different. Is she now goes to others and says, let me tell you about the one who loves you, who recognizes you. And you know, your troubles may not be as great as mine, but boy, oh boy, you're the center of his heart. So sometimes even just being the one today who says to your daughter or son or spouse or colleague, my goodness, I don't think you can imagine how much you are loved by God. You know, there's something so special in that, helping people to see that.
That's incredible. You know, and then just a few verses on in John, Jesus heals the man at the pool of Bethesda. And the first thing the Pharisees say to him is, you can't carry your mat on the Sabbath. You know, and to juxtapose the differences there, one moment with Jesus changed a woman and everybody that she could gather together in that short period of time. And on the other side, people who had been told about a coming Savior for centuries had him right there in front of their noses and they didn't even care. I suppose we could respond exactly the same way.
Yeah. No, absolutely, Brad. And I think that's the nature of our lives. It's why we need these spiritual disciplines, because, you know, we can, you know, I think of myself a little bit like my dogs when they see a squirrel. It doesn't matter what's going on. Yeah. They're just going to lose focus and say, squirrel, squirrel, squirrel. And I think I'm a little bit like that sometimes.
Thanks so much for helping us right here on this Thursday morning. We're so grateful for your time. It's Professor Dion Foster out there, who's going to make his way in a short while out to Vrije Universiteit in Amsterdam. What would be your preferred mode of transport to get to the university today, do you think?
So, Brad, today I'm going to the university now in Amsterdam, and then I have to go to Utrecht for the launch of a new research project this afternoon. So I'm going by train. So I'll catch the train to Amsterdam, and then a little bit later from Amsterdam Zuid to Utrecht Centraal for this meeting. But it's particularly grey and wet at the moment. So, Brad, just one thing quickly to say. Pool of Salome and Pool of Bethesda are actually two different historical sites.
That's right.
In Jerusalem. So they're two slightly different sites. And I guess each of them had slightly different meaning. Just to say, John's gospel is filled with this, the importance of feasts and places for the Jews. Because John's constantly trying to deal with darkness and light. And those who think they're in the light might be in darkness. And those who think they're in darkness through Jesus might be in the light. So he's often reclaiming rituals and places for Christians.
We love that. Thanks so much, Dion. Have yourself a great day. Enjoy the train ride.
Thanks, my friend. Have a great day. God bless. Bye-bye.
What a pleasure hanging out with Prof. Dion. I see someone else here on the screen. And I had a look myself for a quick moment. So it's two different spots in the Bible. I've got something up here in front of me that takes us from John chapter 5, where we've been today with the Pool of Bethesda, from John 5, verse 2 to verse 17. And then Jesus heals a blind man at the Pool of Shiloah, or the Pool of Siloam, whichever version you want to look at it, whichever language rather you want to look at it, from John chapter 9. There are 41 verses to take you through it. Apparently, you can even read about the Pool of Siloam in the book of Isaiah, chapter 8, around verse 6. We like that. Thanks, Prof, and thanks to you for hanging out with me. We're not done yet. I'll update you on your traffic in a short while, and then we're going to go and listen to another powerful testimony. We love stories on a Thursday morning. A lady plagued from her younger years with eating disorders, a very poor relationship with food, and saved by grace through faith. And her faith in Jesus bringing a change in her life that she so desperately needed. A story for any of us to listen to. But if there's somebody in your life who you know is struggling with this kind of thing, now's a good time to get them closer to the radio. We'll have an update for you on your traffic. Some music from Jackie Velasquez. When last have you heard from Jackie? And then our time with Elizabeth Kutsia. That's all on its way. It's World Radio Day. And I'm so grateful to be able to live my radio dream and be able to share it with you every single morning and to be a conduit of good conversation like with Prof. Dion and some great music and all the info you need. Like, what's happening on the road, Brad?
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.